Hi everyone, welcome to the August Thrivers Circle Call. Jessia, great to have you with me today. Kath is also here on the line. Hello, Kath.
Hello, how are you going?
I am really well. Kath is very, very kindly gotten up super early. It's 6 a.m. back home in Brisbane. It's 9 p.m. here in Southampton, where I am. And I know probably most of you listening will probably be in the middle of that somewhere. Probably in the States or Canada, or here in the UK as well, hopefully. So today we have one business intensive and a couple of really good questions from you guys. So if you are listening in now and you want to ask any more questions, just head over to the Thriver Circle Facebook group and ask your questions in the thread. Just look for the pinned post, and that's the thread that we'll be chatting in for the next hour or so while we're on the call. So feel free to head on over there as well as listening, so you can make any comments or suggestions. It's really awesome for those of you who are listening in to, you know, give your feedback as well on what you think while I'm chatting to our business intensive person, and also any questions that we cover as well. I'd love to hear what you think and any questions that you have for me and Kath, so we can try to answer those during the call as well. So today we have the lovely Lindsay on the call. Lindsay, I'm just going to unmute you now. You're live. Hello.
Hello, hello.
Hello, I can hear you all as well.
Fantastic.
Thank you for coming on the call with me today.
I'm very excited.
Good, good. Now, before we start, I just want to check, are you happy for me to share what you wrote in your questionnaire with everyone?
Yes.
Excellent. So, before we dive into that, could you just introduce yourself and tell us about what you do for those who don't know you yet?
Okay. My name is Lindsay, and I live in Los Angeles. And I'm a mom of three, first and foremost. And just last year, I started Candied Cottons on a whim, kind of. And I've just, as I've learned more and more, I've loved it more and more and had ideas and started to realize I could make a living off of this. So awesome. That's what I'm trying to do. And I make pouches and clutches out of fabric. And I feel like what sets me apart is using really modern, exciting fabric that's a little different from some of the other pouch makers out there. So that's me.
Excellent. So you've already, you know, you haven't been going for that long, and you've
no,
already,
just a year.
Yeah, and you've already got, you know, I'm looking at your Etsy shop now. You've got 264 sales there, which is fantastic.
Thank you.
And yeah, I can see what you mean about the different style of fabric. The first thing that caught my eye was the Doctor Who pouch, because I'm a Whovian, so I was like, ooh, Doctor Who stuff.
That is the only branded thing I have in my shop, because I love Doctor Who as well.
But yeah, I mean, it's all looking great, your photos and everything. You know, it looks like you're off to a very good start, let's put it that way. Did you have any business experience before you got started with it?
Not at all. No, I am a reader and a studier, though, by nature. So as soon as I started, I just gobbled up all the information I could find about, and you know, from any website about 10 tips to do Pinterest or how to start your shop or anything. And obviously, I found you quite early and started following everything. But just reading and improving as I went.
Yeah. And how much time would you say you spend on your business every week?
Oh, my gosh. It's hard to ballpark. Mm-hmm. Let me think. At least 3 hours, 6 days a week on creation, like actually making products is, so that's 18 hours. Yep. And then an indeterminate amount here and there throughout the day. I try to get things done even while I'm with the kids. I'm on Instagram a lot. I have 2,400 followers on there.
Wow. That's
awesome.
Great.
I worked really hard on that.
Yes.
So I'm on Instagram a lot. I try to do the whole like customer relationship thing there. And I don't know, Etsy, you know, once you get it figured out, I wouldn't say it runs itself. I still have to photograph things now and again and make new listings and update things, but I don't spend nearly as much time on there as I did at the beginning. So that's kind of awesome.
Yeah, definitely. And so, that's, you're really true, you know, once you get it all set up and everything's going well, it's a lot easier to maintain it.
Yeah, for sure. So I would say at least 22 hours a week.
Okay.
On my business. On the one hand, doesn't sound like a lot. On the other hand, I'm giving everything I can.
So. Yeah, yeah. Well, it's like a part-time job, basically. On top of
definitely, because my real full-time job is my kids.
Yes, exactly, exactly. That's awesome. Well, you've already done so well. So let's dive into what you want to kind of focus on today. So you said your main goal for the next 6 months is steady growth. So increasing sales, new products, better outreach. So the first thing I want to talk to you about is defining this in a numerical way. Because having a goal that's a broad goal like that, you never quite know when you've reached it. You know, it's kind of like, well, you know, that's a nice idea, but let's try to actually come up with a very specific goal. So so you've got three things here: increasing sales, new products, and better outreach. Is there a number that you could attach to those first two? So increasing sales and new products. In other words, can we come up with an actual number like 100 sales in the, you know, before the 31st of December? Or a percentage increase on what you've already done in the first half of the year. Now, I'm not necessarily asking you to do all the maths right now. I just want us to kind of come up with a goal, like a which one of those things you want to go with.
Oh, geez. Oh, so what were they? Increase sales and...
So increasing sales is part of it. So obviously steady growth.
Oh, and products.
And how many new products you want to make in that period of time. So let's look at till the end of December, because that's a nice, you know, up to the end of kind of the Christmas period and a little bit beyond, which gives you, 5 months, something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Where are we? August, yeah.
Okay. So I feel like in theory, I should be able to get out a new product, one a month, and I certainly am not at a lack of ideas because I have, you know, that constant creative person's list of what I want to try next.
Of course, yes.
So I would say one a month in 5 months. However, of course, with the holidays approaching, I don't want to set myself up for failure either. So,
So how long would it take you to release a new product? So to make the prototype and photograph it, write the description, all of those sorts of things, and get it out there?
About a month, only because I'm also constantly using my time to sew the products I'm already selling.
Of course, yep. I understand that completely.
I know you do. You have a lot of products. You've done this before.
Yes. And I, you know, the more sales, and it's kind of the curse of being successful in a way, is that the more successful you get and the more sales you make, the less time you have to make new products. I make so few new products these days because I'm so busy keeping up with orders. And that sounds a horrible problem. Like, that's for someone who's just getting started, that sounds like kind of a first world problem to have, if you know what I mean. But it is actually a serious problem for a business, because if you're not releasing new things regularly, you're not staying fresh. And that means your repeat customers or your old customers won't be encouraged to come back again because they're not seeing new stuff. So it is actually something that is important to attend to. And I think
go ahead. Since I'm in the beginning, I'm trying to try a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I've tried, you know, a lot of different, I'm still trying different styles of selling and different people to reach out to. And I feel like putting out new products is really important because I don't feel like I have a real base of, I have like two or three that I can tell you right off the bat are my best sellers, but I think I want more than two or three, you know?
Yes. I do know what you mean, but to be honest, I mean, my best sellers, it's about that many. Like, it seems to be like the same couple of products, like about five are like the ones that sell over and over again. Like, everything else sells, but nowhere near the volume of those top sellers. So, in that case, I would say if we're looking at the next, you know, 5 months or whatever, if you say you want to produce one new product a month, have a think about your best sellers, what you think makes them your best sellers, and try to focus on that. Or think about the holiday periods that are coming up and try to make stuff that's appropriate for those holiday periods.
Okay. I think it's more realistic, though, within 5 months to release only 3 or 4, not okay. a total
okay.
6.
Okay.
Okay.
So set, go with 4, because that's
okay.
not going too low, but it's not going too high, and you think that, you know, that's, okay. with a little bit of leeway, that should still be
right.
doable. Okay, so we've
you.
Nailed down new products, 4 new products before the end of December. Now, increasing mm-hmm. sales. How, on average, how many sales have you made each month this year so far?
Okay, so I don't know. And I really should, but I really don't. And the months are difficult. I took, like, a month off here in July for summer vacation,
yep.
and I really don't know my averages. Thank goodness Etsy has these tools. Let me
yeah. All you need to do is go into stats and have a look. Yep. Everyone who's listening, if you're not already taking advantage of your Etsy stats, if you're on Etsy, you absolutely should be. I look at it all the time for my own shop to keep an eye on trends, to keep, well, I'm just talking while Lindsay's looking this up, to keep an eye on trends of, you know, how my sales are going for that month as opposed to the previous month. And I also compare, say, this month this year to the same month last year. Obviously, you can only do that when you've been in business for a while, but it's a really good way of keeping an eye on how your business is growing. So are you in there, Lindsay?
Yeah, I've got it. So
cool.
15 and 10 were my lowest, except for July, which had 0 because
that doesn't
I wasn't
count. Yep, you were shut.
Right. My high were April and May at 25, and August I've already got about 10. So I'm thinking my average is closer to 15
yep.
to 20 sales a month.
Yep, and it sounds like you've got, it sounds like you're kind of increasing there in that sort of.
Yes.
Maybe even, like, I find the trend in my shop is, it's quite high in January and February, and then it drops off a little bit, and then it increases again for the rest of the year. But it's going to be different
yeah.
for everybody, obviously.
Right.
So, let's say average of 20. I think
okay.
you can make a goal to not go below that for the rest of the
okay.
year per month. And then, so I like to set 2 goals. I like to set, like, what I call the realistic goal and then the stretch goal.
Okay.
So the realistic goal for you, if you want to grow, is actually 25, because that's a little bit of us, or 23, something that's a couple above, you know, the kind
okay.
of average. And then your stretch goal would be something a little bit beyond that, say 30. And that way you kind of have, okay, well, I know that if I reach this, the, you know, the realistic goal, not a great term for it, I should come up with a different one, but if I reach my initial goal, how about that? That's better.
Right.
If I reach my initial
baseline
goal,
or...
I'm happy. Yeah, baseline goal. That's a good one. I like that. I'm going to write that down. Baseline. Baseline goal, you're happy. But if then you've got that
yeah.
extra little bit to kind of push for if you want to, but you don't have to. So does that sound like a
great.
Reasonable number?
That's reasonable, especially for November, December,
yep.
when I do have a pickup in sales for the holidays, so that'll be good.
Fantastic. So that's, we've got ourselves a increasing sales, we've got ourselves an in a new products. How about better
Why
outreach?
Is this so easy to do when I'm talking to you?
That's
it
my
makes
job.
So much sense. You know, you're not spoon-feeding it to me, but you're helping me talk through it. It's so nice.
I think I probably should do a workshop on goal setting for everybody.
Yeah.
Then everyone can, who's not listening to the call, can hopefully work through this stuff. Okay,
yeah.
So there we go. Now, your third thing you wrote was better outreach. We
okay.
have to define that a bit more before we decide exactly what we're going to measure. So
right.
what are the channels that you would like to use to get, for starters, to gain this better outreach?
I have issues with, I'm on... Obviously, Instagram. I have a page on Facebook, a page on Pinterest, and I have my poor, sad little newsletter.
Mm-hmm.
And it is sad because I haven't sent one since, I think, May or June. And I was trying to do one a month, and I
yep.
need to. I have very few people. I feel like I'm not sure that it converts to any kind of measurable sales. Mm-hmm. And I think because it is not, it feels like it's not successful, then it's hard to feel motivated about it.
Yep, I understand.
But I know that it's important to
mm-hmm.
focus on the newsletter, and yet I can't, like, motivate myself to do it. So.
Okay.
I don't know. And I don't know if I want to grow Facebook and Instagram and Pinterest and the web, like, all at the
mm-hmm.
same time. That's a lot.
Yep.
So...
Okay, so Let's look at what you're doing so far. So, what's your most successful social media at the moment?
Instagram, by far.
And can you at all, because obviously with Instagram, the problem is that you can't actually track clicks because, well, because there's only the one link in your profile. Have you had any customers that you know are coming through from Instagram?
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely?
Yeah, definitely. I know that more of my sales are just from within Etsy. I mean, that's kind of obvious, but I definitely have people, and then they will find me on Instagram and say, "Ooh, can I order this?" I send them to Etsy. That exact purchase is made within 24 hours. I definitely know that person's from Instagram, even if they're someone I haven't interacted with very much, yet. So.
Fantastic. That's really good. So I would say for now, for the rest of the year, keep doing what's working. Keep focusing on,
Okay.
you can't, it's not that you can't work on the other ones, but it's
Right.
much easier with a limited amount of time to focus on one, doing one well. And it sounds like you're already doing a really good job of that. And so I would keep, it's kind of a snowball thing. If you keep working on it and keep growing it, it will grow faster and faster.
Okay.
Ideally, if everything's going right. So,
No, that makes sense.
yeah.
I feel like I've gotten more followers after I hit 2,000. I just get a few trickling in every day. That would have just blown my mind a year ago,
That's
Because
fantastic. That's
I
fantastic.
started with 200, I th 215 followers
Yep.
on my Instagram, so
I think you've done really
I
well.
like, thank you. I've tried really, really hard.
And it's paying off, so that's really great. So yeah, keep focusing on that because you actually obviously enjoy it and it's working for you. Now, when it comes to the newsletter,
Yeah.
I would say make yourself a promise that for the rest of this is an example of a goal you could set. Make yourself a promise that for the rest of the year, you'll send a newsletter when you release the new a new product. So that'll only
Okay.
be four newsletters, and because you have something to
Okay.
say. And it's a no-brainer thing to say. So you'll write a. Do you have a blog on your site? I didn't look. Do you have a blog?
Not yet. I don't have a site.
That's right. Okay, so it's just Etsy. That's fine.
Yeah.
So, for now, so
Yeah, I know. I
you've
want a website so bad. I'm getting there.
so yep. So send that newsletter every time you produce a new product, and actually try to make a point of it on Instagram and say, and do something if you're willing to do it, put some sort of promo code in your newsletter that you don't put anywhere else. So what you
Right.
can actually do is you can leverage your Instagram followers to sign up to your
Right.
newsletter list by saying, "I've got this new product." You show what you probably already do, which is show sneak peeks and then show a new product when it's
Yes.
released. And then you can say, "If you want to purchase this product with a 10, 15, whatever percent discount for the next 48 hours, head on over and sign up for my newsletter and you'll get the promo
Awesome.
code." Okay. And what I actually do, and I do this when I launch a new course or anything else, in my Instagram profile, I actually go in and manually change the link to the place I want people to go. So for that 48-hour
Right.
period, you would change the link in your Instagram profile to actually point directly to your newsletter sign up and say, so you just have to say link in profile, bam, people go sign up and they'll get the promo code.
Okay, awesome.
And that's a way to kind of link the two things together and leverage that Instagram traffic and move people into
Right.
your newsletter, and that gives them a reason to stay or stick around. If you're gonna, if you're only releasing one product a month, you can kind of afford to do that. You can afford to do a short-term promo thing to get sales flowing and to get those sign-ups, because it's you're not only looking at the short-term getting this particular sale, you're looking at the
Oh.
long-term keeping people engaged.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, you're back.
Sorry,
Hooray.
my Skype obviously dropped out there. Sometimes the
No,
internet
we're
can be
talking
a.
weather
Oh,
about
okay.
Yeah, we're doing weather. We're doing the weather. We're doing the weather report.
Fantastic. Well,
All
it's.
right, I'll leave you to it now again. Nice to
Thanks,
talk to you,
Kath. Okay.
Lindsay.
Thanks, Kath. Bye.
Now, where did you hear me up to before I dropped out?
We were talking about the newsletter and the giving a percent discount for 48 hours, leveraging my people from Instagram.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Okay, so leveraging our people, and I think I dropped out when I was saying something about not thinking, it's not just thinking about the short term making a sale now, it's about thinking the long
Right.
term, keeping these people on your newsletter list and keeping them engaged in a way
Okay.
that you can get direct access to them. on a regular basis.
Okay, great.
Awesome. Okay, so let's dive back in. So we've got so better outreach, I think, doing that, making that one tweak. So, you know, releasing a newsletter with each new product, doing that promo code connection with Instagram. For now, it's probably all you really need to do. If you can promise yourself to do that and to keep doing what you're doing with Instagram, I think you'll do well.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we've lost her again.
What?
Oh, you're back.
Yeah, I'm here.
There you are. Oh, hi. Okay, I'll just stay on the call.
That's a good idea.
Out there. Yeah,
I can't see anything going wrong on my end, so it must be a little connection hoo-ha that's happening there.
Yeah, you do that thing. Remember when we were doing that podcast? I was just telling Lindsay, when we were doing that podcast, you were doing that thing where you were like slowing right down and then all of a sudden you sped right up and then you were gone.
Fun times.
So, yes. So that's what's happening. So I'm not sure what that is. Anyway,
thanks everyone
continue.
For being patient with my not so brilliant internet here. Okay, so let's go on to something else. So you said that the number one thing you're struggling with is marketing and advertising. It's hard to know where to spend money. So tell me about that.
Well, I haven't paid for advertising hardly at all. I tried a little on SD when I first started, probably October, November, and it seemed good, but I don't know that I even understood my own shop well enough to understand the gains that I got. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, and then I just tried a little Facebook one over the weekend. It was just like 3 or 4 days, and it ended up costing me $15, but I got a lot of good traffic on my Facebook page for that. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that translated into sales or anything. So this is where I'm at. I'm just kind of like trying different things and seeing what works. There's no like consistent collaborated effort, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. The first thing I want to ask is a few weeks ago, Kath and I did a conversations podcast on bootstrap ways to advertise your business. Have you listened to that one?
Oh yeah.
Yep.
I've listened to all of them.
Excellent. I hope you found it helpful.
Yes, definitely. I did. I just, I don't know. I guess I want to know, like, I don't know. Maybe I just want a crystal ball and be like, please tell me, Jess, which one's going to be perfect for me. Like, that's crazy. So
I'll tell
maybe
you,
I'm asking
I'll,
too much.
I'll take you, I'll put you out of your misery now and tell you there's no crystal ball. Nobody can tell you what to do. And you won't even necessarily get it right. So that's the problem with advertising, is there's no hard and fast rules. There are guidelines. For those of you who haven't listened to that podcast, Kath and I do cover a couple of those guidelines. But it's just a case of experimenting. It really is. So it's just a case of saying, okay, what's the risk I'm willing to take? And generally that's a financial risk, but because you're going to spend some money. What's the reward I'm trying to get? So have a goal for it. You know, don't just go in willy-nilly throwing money into advertising. Have an actual goal for what you're wanting to achieve from that particular ad, and then see how it goes. And you know, experiment, like if you're running Facebook ads, experiment with boosted posts, experiment with ads in the timeline, experiment with ads in the sidebar. Definitely work on ads that, you know, of particular products, and then ads that ads that are a bit more general, perhaps. So, you know, when you release a new product, you could do an ad, and you could even do an ad, and like you're going to do on Instagram, say if you sign up, you know, get 15% off for the next 48 hours or something like that as a boosted post on your Facebook page, and then that also get people into your mailing list as well. So that's another way to kind of make that ad work for its money, if you know what I mean, for the money you're spending.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. That
Fantastic.
Makes sense. Great.
Now, let's move on to, you've got three specific questions. So the first one is, does my current branding say what I want it to be saying? Your second one is, how can I better reach my ideal customer? And your third one is, how can I turn fans, or Instagram followers especially, into customers? So which one of those is most urgent?
I want to know about my branding.
Okay. So let's have a look at your shop. So what do you, Are you unsure about your branding? Is it something that's bothering you? Is there something you want to change in particular? Or do you just want a general, you know, does it seem to work?
A general does it seem to work. I want it to be tight and cohesive and consistent.
What are the elements of your brand? I mean, I'm looking at your banner, which it looks pretty professional. Like it's nicely done. It's nice and crisp.
Thank you.
You've got, you know, a proper picture there. It's not like a fuzzy picture. It's a nice illustration. You haven't got too many colors going on. It obviously is a colored scheme that you've worked out. It's easy to read and straightforward. So I think that immediately to me says professional. Like it looks like you've put some effort into it.
Good. That would be my husband, who has a graphic design background. I'm very lucky that I don't have to pay him anything.
That is very, very lucky. Yes, definitely.
I know.
Now, with the so the feeling that I get from that is obviously that, you know, you say candied cotton, so it's kind of that whimsical sort of, I hate that word. You know what I'm trying to say, though. It's kind of playful, I guess, perhaps, but also it playful. Looks quite modern. It doesn't look too frou-frou. Frou-frou. So, yeah, so I think it's quite clean feeling. It's not frilly feeling to me. You've got a nice font. And it's got a bit of a flourish, but it's not too. It's kind of a bit. It's a little bit tattoo-y to me, hipstery. That kind of the design, the actual font that you've
the
used.
The font, interesting.
Yeah. So I think that probably comes across pretty well to me. Those of you listening, I'd love for you to give your feedback as well in the Facebook chat.
Please.
Let Lindsay know what you think. One thing I would probably do is play around with the color of the words. I'd consider making them the kind of teal aqua color. Just see how it looks. Cause the black, I don't know, it seems a little bit forceful to me. Maybe even draw it down to a bit of a gray, more gray. That's possibly a personal preference. Again, I'd like to hear what other people think. And your photos are great. Like you've got, they're well lit. You've got a little bit of styling going on, like with the showing the things that are in there. You've got candy in them, which obviously, you know.
Okay, I was wondering about this. Is this a good thing or a bad thing? I mean, you know, coming up with a business name is like the worst thing ever because you're trying to convey like so much meaning in one or two or three words and it's just hard.
Yes.
So,
yes.
You know, cotton meaning I'm using fabric and candy meaning it's sweet, it's fun, it's a little frivolous, but that's okay because it's sweet. You know, it's something that you can enjoy.
Definitely.
So then I've tried to name, because Etsy does not let you do like anything with the background or anything else but your photos. I was trying to see how I could infuse the suggestion of candies and sweets, and so I just put them physically in the pictures. Now, I'm not sure if that looks weird. Does that support the brand? Should I do it for every picture? Is it okay that it's only in some of the pictures? Should I do it away with it entirely?
I personally like it because it's a little bit fun. It kind of does link the Candy Cotton's name together. And I think that it might be something that you actually make a trademark. So, for example, in every main photo, you try to include a couple of pieces of candy. And that way people will kind of, you know, the idea is to make your photos recognizable as yours straight away if people are familiar with the brand. So by having a little...
Certainly for Instagram too.
Exactly. So by having some sort of little thing, like having candy in your photo, and it doesn't necessarily have to be the same candy all the time, although maybe having a specific one, you know, you've got the same sort of candy in these photos because it's nice and bright and colourful, which is nice.
Yes.
That could be something that you could play with... I mean, I like the photos where, you know, the pouch is kind of laying down with a bit stuff sort of spilling out of it a little bit. I think that works really well. I don't like as much the ones where the candy or the stuff is like in front of the pouch because it doesn't feel as natural. Like those other ones feel like you've just kind of tossed it down and some stuff sort of rolled out of there, and it's kind of it's a natural sort of feeling to it, and it doesn't obscure the product, which is, you know, the idea always of a product photo is the product, it must be obvious straight away what the product is from the photo. You shouldn't have to explain it, and so your product should be the star of the photo.
Okay,
so that's a good rule of thumb to go with. So yeah, I'd say yeah, play with that, keep following that sort of, keep going with that, and yeah, go with there. So
okay, because I've also been trying with the names to give them candy names, and not all of them do, but most of them do, and I've enjoyed that. Although it's kind of funny once you start thinking of candy names. But I can't do any trademark. I'm not, you know, I can't do Skittles or anything.
No,
I don't even
want
to go that direction. So it's a funny thing to try to make up a new name for every product.
Definitely. It is very, 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 very tiring at times to try to come up with something.
Yeah.
I actually, and I'll often put a new product on Instagram or Facebook and say, help me. What do you think I should call this?
Oh, I just did that, and I gave away. I was like, I will give you one if you name this for me, people. And they came up with some great ideas.
Yeah, and I make, you know, you could make that a thing. It's like, especially if you're only releasing, like, one product a month. That's some. That's a way to make it fun, you know, and say, okay, it's time to name this month's product, and the winner gets a giveaway. And, yeah, I think that's a really cool thing to do as well. Cool. All right.
Okay.
And let's move on. We've got a little bit of time, a few minutes left here. So we've got, how can I better reach my ideal customer, and how can I turn fans into customers? So how can I better reach my ideal customer? Who is your ideal customer?
Well, I have my ideal customer worksheet right here. I pulled it out. female, 25 to 55, might have kids, might not. I've decided my idea with kids is that she is a career woman. So she's either made a career of her children and family, or she's made a career of a career, but, you know, a kind of independent, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely doesn't care about high-end bags. And the reason is because I don't make high-end bags. Mm-hmm. So I'm not soliciting the women who want Gucci and Louis Vuitton. They wouldn't give my stuff a second look.
Exactly.
I'm not, you know, and if they happen to stumble upon my stuff and buy a coin purse to put inside their Louis Vuitton, that's fine. But I'm not courting those women because they wouldn't care.
Yep. Very good. That's good.
So
you've just eliminated them. You're not going to worry about them. That's excellent.
No.
Eliminating people is great.
She either doesn't want high-end bags or can't afford them or doesn't care. Like, a name is just a name, because that's me. I don't care.
Yep, I don't either.
Maybe she doesn't treat herself enough, because I really am coming from this place of, I believe that people, especially women, I guess I should just say women because since I'm trying to get women, don't give themselves enough, and they don't treat themselves enough, and they don't care for themselves enough. And so to buy yourself a little something is not a guilty indulgence. It's something that you should be doing, and it's good for you, and you know, that kind of thing.
Anyway. And who doesn't need a pouch for stuff? I mean, we all need those things.
Once you buy one, you're like, oh, now I need 18 more, because you can think of a million reasons to have one. I'm not kidding. I have so many in my life just from making them.
Yeah.
And so then I use them for everything.
Yeah,
so.
Definitely.
You know, likes mani pedis, likes some fashion blogs, but more like budget fashion blogs, because she can't, like, doesn't want to or can't afford to spend money on high fashion. She's mostly like me.
Yes. Yep, that's fine.
But not necessarily only me, I guess.
And I think it's kind of easier in a way if you're speaking to people. If your ideal customer is similar to you, because you can speak genuinely from your experience, and they can connect with that and relate to that, which allows you to be more authentic in your storytelling and your marketing, which is good. So, yep, that sounds like you've got a bit of an idea of who they are and what they're all about. So I think it sounds like you're doing a really good job so far of reaching them on Instagram.
Making
connections with people. Obviously, other way, you know, the photographs you take are really important, because certain styles will appeal to certain people. And I think by having what you've got in that, you've got your photos are a little bit fun, in that they're not just boring, straight, flat, minimalist kind of product photos with just the product.
Right.
So it doesn't scream, you know, expensive high end. It screams kind of like you. I think what you're trying to get across is kind of a fun, a treat, something that you might just want. It's a little bit frivolous, but that's okay. You know, that's we deserve a little bit of that sometimes in our lives, and that's something to be you know, accepted and enjoyed. So I think that that's something you can kind of focus on and play with as well, especially with your product name. You know, candy candied cottons.
Okay.
Mm. So I think that's quite good. Is there any way that you've been thinking about connecting with your customers that you haven't tried yet?
No, I don't. I feel like I've tried everything, but I don't know.
Okay.
No.
So I think, again, I think it's you're going, I think, honestly, from an outside perspective, you're doing very well for a beginner.
Thank you.
You know, you've only been in business for a year.
I don't know what the, I only know my own experience, exactly. So I don't know what's super well or super not. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's why I feel like I still have a million questions.
Yeah. I mean, I probably made in my first, I mean, I was only working on it as a hobby in my first year. I probably made 150 sales, maybe. I don't know. And, you know, that was great. But a lot of people don't make any, or a lot of people only make one a month, you know. So to be at a couple hundred
right.
sales in the, you know, the first year, I think is pretty good. And, you know, your shop looks like you've put a lot of
okay.
work into it. So, you know, I think you're definitely on the right track.
Thank you. I appreciate the validation because, like I said, I'm not sure if I'm doing a good job or if I'm spinning my wheels. I don't know.
No, I think you're doing a good job. And the sales numbers will, you know, that's the true test. If you look at your stats,
okay.
look at the trend, look at that graph and say, okay, how's it going? Is it going up? And if it's going up on a regular basis, even if it's just one or two at this stage, that's
right.
great. That's, you know, you're doing it right and you're going in the right direction, definitely.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you.
You're welcome. Now, let's just touch quickly on your final thing, which is where you see your business in 3 years, because I think it's nice to kind of do this big dreaming. So you say that you want to see it much bigger and making more money, hopefully $500 per month or more, possibly with an employee, and you'll have a tighter range of good selling products. Now, that $500 a month or more, if you're comfortable to share how much you're currently grossing per month, are you comfortable sharing that with us?
Yes.
Okay.
I am not careful with my accounting, mm-hmm. and I just that's a whole other episode if we were to keep talking about it. So.
Okay. Well, if you look in your Etsy stats, it tells you.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I would say I'm grossing close to $250 a month right
okay.
now.
Okay. Great. Fantastic. So.
Like I said, I put a Facebook post about how we just bought a timeshare, and I'm so mm-hmm. excited that the money I'm making can cover that.
That is fantastic.
But I feel like when I first started, I didn't know how far it was going to go. I didn't know what I was going to be able to do with this. And then now that I've got a taste for it and see where I can go, I'm like, yeah, I can do this. I really feel like I can get up to that point, you know?
Yep. I think 500 is eminently reasonable, and I think you should probably hit that by this time next year, all going well.
Oh,
the question okay. is, if you're selling your products for the price you're selling them now, and you're selling the volume that you're going to need to make $500 a month, can you actually keep up with that?
Yeah, that's another question. I will have two in school this year, mm-hmm. and all three kids will be in school in 5 years. That's part of why I was able to say that.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. So that will be a big difference for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that'll free up a little bit more time for you.
Yeah.
We won't. I mean, I think your prices are eminently reasonable. You know, it's kind of like $10 US for a little pouch, mini zip pouch there. I'm just looking at a couple of random stuff. Makeup pouch for $12.
Great.
I think you could probably get away with inching your prices up a little bit. If you're not comfortable with like a
okay.
big jump, just add a dollar or two. And then
I
add
have
another...
been steadily increasing my prices, which
you are. Yep.
I do that on study. Yeah.
Yep, that's great. Yep, keep doing that. Because, you know, obviously you'll reach the ceiling because of your target market. But,
right.
you know, I think if you the thing to do with that sort of, you know, because you have a relatively low price point, is to go up by $1 or $2 every month or two and just see how sales are going. And if sales are keeping on the same, just kind of follow that process until you get to a point where you feel like, yeah, I'm where I need to be. So that's
okay.
great. Sounds like you're on track with that, which is fantastic.
Okay. Thank you.
You are so
I feel like you've given me lots of extra time, so I really appreciate that. It's nice to hear from you in person. I've been just watching everything you put out and all the podcasts, and I hear your voice, and I'm like, there's a real person behind that, and so now I get stuck to you, so thank you.
You're very welcome. It was awesome to chat to you. It's always such a pleasure to talk to you guys one-on-one and help you out with your businesses. So thanks for coming on the call today, Lindsay. And
Thank you. Good luck
keeping everything going. You know, you're doing a really great job.
Great. Thank you. I'll see you on Facebook then.
You will. See you in the circle. Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
That was awesome. Those of you listening, I hope, you know, that you got a lot out of that. I hope everybody listens to this call, because I think we covered some really, really good tips there, especially in the goal setting stuff. Yes, I will have to do a workshop for you guys on those really nitty gritty goal setting, because it makes a big difference to set really smart goals. And you've probably heard of that acronym before: specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, and time-bound goals. Makes a big difference. So Kath is here with me, and we have a couple of questions to talk about.
We do. Hello, how are you going?
I am good.
That's good.
So
excellent. All right.
Throw them at me.
So, yes. Ready. All right. So we have a question from Megan. Mm-hmm. She says, as a jewelry seller who also teaches other handmade business owners how to run their own businesses, you probably get a lot of non-buyers who sign up for your jewelry mailing list to observe and learn from you. How do you calculate this into your mailing list conversion rate? And do you attempt to remove any of these subscribers when they start making you have to pay for the higher priced email plan, even though you know they aren't ever going to buy your jewelry?
Okay, that is a really interesting question, and my answer now is that I don't even think about it. And the reason I don't even think about it is because I now have Create and Thrive. So back when I started Create and Thrive, which was the beginning of 2013, I did that very deliberately, because up to that point I had one blog. It was my Ethereal Designs blog, and on that blog I was combining everything. I was talking about my jewelry, I was talking about my life, I was talking about creative business, and it just felt too muddled. It felt like there wasn't clarity in what I was talking about, and I also was doing more and more of the teaching. You know, I was really enjoying helping people grow their businesses. For those of you who don't know, I was a teacher before I had my jewelry business. So that, you know, it's a passion of mine to teach and help people learn things that will help them in their lives. So it was kind of a no-brainer for me to finally make that split and actually separate my jewelry business from the teaching, so that I could really help the right people and focus on the right ideal customer, because they're very different. There is overlap. I do have people, even I've got some people in the Thriver Circle who've bought jewelry off me in the past, and you know, that sort of thing. So there is some overlap, but I wanted to be able to speak to the right people, and so that's why I separate out my ethereal stuff from my Create and Thrive stuff. So these days, most people who are interested in the business side of things would probably subscribe to my Create and Thrive mailing list rather than to my ethereal list. Although, as you said, Megan, you have a good point that some people may sign up to my ethereal mailing list to kind of spy on me, in inverted commas, which, you know, doesn't bother me in the slightest. I think that's fine. I think it's a great way to learn from other people, is to actually sign up to their newsletters and see what they do. As for, you know, worrying about it costing me more, I just see that as a cost of business. It doesn't bother me. I have quite a high MailChimp bill these days, which is a good thing. I think every time that the tier goes up in MailChimp, I actually am happy about it, because it means more people are hearing from me, and that small price that I pay for that those few more subscribers is I earn back many, many times in the sales that those email newsletter lists allow me to make. So now sometimes I'll talk to the idea of dead subscribers, but kind of subscribers who you perhaps are dead weight and you don't want to be paying for them. These might be people who've been on your newsletter list for a long time but haven't opened anything. You know, people who subscribe using an old email address that they don't look at anymore, stuff like that. And they'll never unsubscribe because they're not paying any attention to those emails anymore. Or it might be getting sorted into their spam folder and they never see them. There is a way to actually get rid of those people. And most, I only know MailChimp myself, obviously, but in most mailing list software, there will be an option to actually bulk unsubscribe people who haven't actually opened a campaign from you in a period of time. So you may want to go in once or twice a year and actually go to your newsletter list and actually pull up anyone who has, you know, who is subscribed, who hasn't opened a campaign within the last 6 months or the last 3 months, whatever amount of time you want to put on it, and actually unsubscribe those people so you're not actually paying to send emails to them anymore. Because if someone hasn't opened an email from you in 6 months, the chances are, especially if you're sending them regularly, like this is a couple of times a month, I'm assuming you're sending them all at least once or twice a month. If they haven't opened an email from you in 6 months, the likelihood that they're going to is pretty low. So you probably don't want to be worrying about paying for those people anymore. I hope that answered your question, Megan. If you do have more, I'm not sure if you're on the call, but if you do have more details on that you want to kind of throw back at me, just come and ask in the Facebook group, and I'm happy to talk on that in a bit more detail. Kath, did you have anything you wanted to add to that one?
No, I've just put a little link up in the Facebook group there about how to bulk unsubscribe from Excellent. MailChimp specifically, but it really, I just did a Google search. So yeah. Those words, bulk unsubscribe, and then from your program that you use to do your mail outs.
Yeah. Excellent. Okay. So let's look at our
Great.
Next question.
Now we have another question. This is from Debbie. She says, I have two very different product lines. One is one-of-a-kind abstract intuitive small paintings as well as Gickly prints. Gickly? Gickly.
I've never known
Not
how
sure
to pronounce
how to say that,
to be
sorry.
Honest. Does anybody know?
No, I know.
Tell us,
I've never
please?
Had to say it out loud.
Is it Gickly?
So
I don't
put
really
it up like. Phonetically in the Facebook group. And the price range of the originals are $30 to $40. Number two is reverse gilded glass platters and bowls. These are handmade production pieces and $350 to $500. So I'm trying to create a website and plan for art fair booths. Can I combine them? I'm thinking of different site names, Jane Smith Studio, Jane Smith Art, Jane Smith Art and Design as three different options. Or should I run entirely two different business in the US, Old Navy and The Gap are owned by the same parent company but have different customers. Two businesses would drive me nuts. Any words of wisdom? And I've got examples of Debbie's prints, which I'll pop up in the Facebook page
yep.
as well.
They are very different in style. Now, I'm not sure if that's because that just happens to be those two particular pictures are different in style, or whether that's an indication that the abstract paintings and the glassware are actually vastly different in style. Now, this is a very interesting and important topic, and I have a story to tell everybody because I have been through this exact same thing myself. A few years ago, I actually had two jewellery businesses. One was Ephereal and one was called Vintet. And the reason I had two is because I had been making Ephereal, and it was clear to me by this stage that Ephereal jewellery was quite modern, sleek, simple designs. But I was also really into wearing vintage clothing, vintage dresses from the 60s and 50s specifically. And my jewellery that I was making for Ephereal didn't really go with that. It was quite a different style. While I would love wearing it when I had jeans and a nice shirt on, it wouldn't really go with my vintage dresses. So I started to make myself some vintage style, jewellery. And I really loved it, and I thought, well, I might as well start selling this as well. Why not? It's fun. So I started selling it, and I made the decision from the beginning to start a new brand because I didn't want to dilute my Ephereal brand that was already going strong. So, for me, it was an easy decision to make because I was very clear on the fact that my Ephereal brand was going in this direction and that my Vintet brand would feel very different, and not only feel different, it would be quite priced quite differently. So Vintet stuff was much cheaper because it was pretty much assembly jewellery. I was getting components and putting them together rather than my Ephereal work, which is all from raw materials. So I did that for a while and I enjoyed it, but you're absolutely right, it's a lot of work to maintain two brands. You have to do the social media for both, you have to run a mailing list for both, you have to do the photography, and you have different setups for those. You have to write in a different style. It's a lot of work, and it was going well. Like Vintet was going nicely for what it was, but I had to give it up because I just didn't have the time. Because Ephereal was growing so well that I didn't have the time to keep it going. So So the idea, I guess, here is if you have the time to, you know, if you have the time to separate them and run both of them separately, great, do that. But if you don't think you have the time and energy to do that, you need to find a way for the two things to work together. Now, if you're positioning yourself as an artist rather than as a craftsperson or a designer, I think it's easier to have a brand or to have a shop that combines slightly disparate or items that perhaps don't completely go together, because that's quite, you know, while an artist would generally have a particular style, they also have a bit more leeway. Whereas, you know, if you have a more of a craft or design sort of bent, I think it really, everything has to work together really, really well and should be, you know, the product range should work together nicely as a whole. I think that's the ideal for anything, of course, but yeah, it's a really difficult, it's a really difficult decision to make, and nobody can make it for you, unfortunately. Because I think an important point here as well to touch on is the fact that the price points are quite different. So that could cause difficulty as well, unless you know, if you have your own website and you have different sections. So, you know, you could have, you know, your abstract art section and then have your glass platter and bowl section and kind of make it very clear that they're two very, very different things. And the same thing goes with, you know, if you go to art fair, have them separate, like have them on either side and have them as two separate things. And you can also see how things go. Like, you've got to remember, guys, when you make these sort of decisions, they're not necessarily forever. That it's just a case of making the decision for now and experimenting with it and seeing where it goes, because you can never know for sure at the beginning if a particular thing is going to work or not. So that, you know, I hate to be a bit kind of wishy-washy on this one, but it is a really difficult one, and it's not one that I think I can give you a yes or no answer on. Kath, what do you think on that as well?
Sorry, I think it's difficult. I think that if you, as you say, have the time to do both. See, I have very many brands at the moment, and I'm actually trying to get myself to a point where I have less things to do. So I've separated brands out from one parent business into multiple businesses, and it does work, but you've got to have the time. And I've just had a situation where I've run out of time to be able to work on multiple businesses, so I have to focus on one. So I guess those are all the questions. Sorry, my dogs are barking in the background because I'm having some building work done.
Hi, H squared.
Yes, that's a Huggy Bear and Hutch. Hi, guys. Anyway, so I think, yeah, it's all down to you personally. Do you have the time to do it? If you feel like, yes, I definitely have the time to do it, then split them up. But it sounds like you don't want to, Betty. So I would try to do, as Jess suggested, and keep them under the one banner. Be more of an artist, which is what it sounds like you are, rather than going down the craft route. I reckon those original ones that you said, which I can't say, Geekly Prints or Jiggly Prints, they are way too low priced, and therefore if you can raise those prices up to be more comparable to your glass platters and bowls, then that would also work really well under one brand.
Yeah, exactly. And if you're going down the more artist route, and you're doing gallery shows and things like that, you can charge a lot more because of it's just the environment allows, you know, you to charge a lot more for your work than you can under the craft banner. It's a horrible, horrible truth of our industry, but, you know, people are way more willing to pay more for something that's art than they are to pay for something that's craft, because people don't value craft as much.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah.
So, you know, if you're going down that sort of selling in galleries and things like that, you can charge more. So, yeah. So, yeah. Oh, Debbie's just made a comment in the Facebook post about the artist me and designer me, which is fantastic. So that's a really, really good point. Awesome. Okay, I think we have one more question. Am I right?
We do, yeah. From Sarah. She says, I'm redoing my photos. I've got at least 100. I'm wondering how much variety I need. For example, say I've got around 30 cards. Do I need a few different backgrounds or is one okay? I'm changing backgrounds for different products.
Okay. So I think it depends on your branding. There's nothing wrong with one background, as long as that background works for all your products. So, and that's why, you know, a lot of people will use the white background because it's neutral, it doesn't clash with anything. But if you're using some sort of colour or pattern background, you need to be really careful that it actually complements your product rather than being detrimental. So, for example, in my shop, I actually have different backgrounds because when I started, I was making sterling silver jewellery that was shiny silver coloured. So I needed for me, as far as I was concerned, I needed a dark background to make the silver pop. I really hate silver on white backgrounds because I think it looks blur and it blends in and it doesn't really stand out. So all of my silver is photographed on kind of dark backgrounds, and I have three or four like dark grey / dark blue that all work together in a nice colour palette. Then when I started making oxidised silver, which is kind of a very dark gunmetal grey colour, I realised I couldn't use the same backgrounds because the pieces would just disappear. So I actually started using a light wooden coloured, it's actually wood, I actually use wood from my paddock, that is my background for those, because that makes them pop against that background. So it's a case of saying, okay, well, I need to make sure all of my backgrounds work together if I'm using multiple backgrounds, and I also need to make sure that the background I'm using for each product actually complements the product rather than being detrimental to the product. So if you can actually use the same background for everything and that works for your brand, there's no problem with that. You don't have to use different backgrounds, you know, to make things more interesting. If you want to do that, great, but it's not necessary, I don't think. What do you think, Kath?
Yeah, I think, again, it's really down to your personal style, but like you were saying with your background, it was very specific to the type of product you were making. And I'm not sure, Sarah, I'll have to have another look into what your particular business is, but I think that the white background only really works for a certain number of products. It doesn't work for everything. So yeah. I don't know. I think it's really got to do with what your product is. And if you're saying cards, oh, I remember.
She makes the sports
right.
stuff.
Beautiful, yeah, sports yeah. cards. That's right. Then I think... it's hard. I'd have to have a look. I think it can get boring if you have the same. So
yeah,
people
that's true.
Are looking, they sometimes might just glance through and not really look at each individual product. But then again, some of the bigger businesses all use just a plain white background and exactly the same style of image. In fact, I think that you probably use Photoshop to make them all look exactly the same.
Yeah.
So yes, it's difficult. I think to keep the handmade feel of your shop, I think it's nice to have some differences. But again, it's really down to your personal choice and what your product you make.
Yep, definitely. And that's I totally agree with that. It's not one of those, this is definitely the way you should do it sort of
no.
questions. To be honest, most things in business aren't.
Nope.
definitely you should do it this way sort of thing. It really is always very dependent on your brand and what you do. So
absolutely.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think that's have we answered all the questions that we'd had for this week?
Yeah, it looks like it. And I think you answered that little question from Lindsay. Yes, what's the difference between a designer and artist? Design's functional, artist not necessarily functional. So that's cool. I think we're done. I think that's it.
Fantastic. Well, for those of you still listening, or those of you who listen in later, Lindsay's website is in the Facebook group if you want to have a look at what she is doing and give her a little bit of feedback on her branding and what you think of everything. Always lovely to hear from you all and get your opinions and your feedback on that. The call will be is recorded, and it will be up on the website within 24 hours of this call. If you want to listen to it again, especially Lindsay might want to listen back to it and kind of make some notes there, so it'll be there for everybody to listen to as well. And of course, we'll be back next month with our next call. If you'd like to be one of our business intensive participants, make sure to get your questionnaire in. It'll be up in the Facebook, not in the Facebook group. It'll be up on the calls page on the Thriver Circle website within about two weeks of the call date being announced. So once we announce the next call date, just head on over there and you'll be able to submit your questionnaire if the time and date of the next call works for you. Don't ever hesitate to sign up, you know, for that. Even if you don't get in this time, you might get in another time. And it's, it's really fun. If you're a little bit shy, you know, the only people listening to this are the circle. It doesn't go out to the public. It's within the circle. So don't be too shy to put yourself forward and have a chance to chat with me and really kind of work on your business one-on-one for a little while. So thanks for those of you who've been listening in live and participating in the chat in the Facebook group. It's always really fantastic to see all that feedback in there. Thanks again, Kath, for joining me and getting up early for this call.
No worries. No worries. I'm ready for my day now.
And I'm ready to go to bed, so I'm going to do that. And thanks again, guys. We will see you all in the circle right now. Bye-bye for now.
Bye.